Learn the most empowering hiring techniques. Land the most desirable talent. Launch your company towards massive success. This is the Higher Power Radio Show with your host, Rick Gerard.
All right. So how do you change company culture when the values of the CEO evolve? Now, we all understand that to grow as a company, people need to embrace change. Yet a lot of us fear change because it requires work on ourselves, which is uncomfortable. The truth here is that when you fear change, the business is going to probably outgrow you, and then change becomes inevitable. I'm Rick Gerard, and welcome to the Higher Power Radio Show. We help entrepreneurs and executives win-win the strongest hires. We do this by sharing insights from top-performing rebel entrepreneurs, game changers, and industry leaders like our guest today. His name's Mr. Jason Lippert. Now, Jason is the president and CEO of LCII. Now, Jason helped grow the company from $150 million in revenue in 2003 to over $5.1 billion today with over 12,000 team members worldwide. That's where Jason. All right. So he's done this by initiating a cultural transformation within the company known as Everyone Matters. So his mission has been to stress a truly human culture in the business, and he implemented the culture and leadership team who strives to grow the company's team members through coaching and working on personal and professional development, which is what makes Jason the perfect expert for today's topic. Jason, welcome to the Higher Power Radio Show today.
Rick, thanks for having me. Happy to be here. And I've had a lot of help along the way, just to clarify that.
We all have. But still, you know, like you put the right people around you, and that's phenomenal. I always like to open up with a story. I think we were talking offline about your aha moment. Now, I would imagine that like most young CEOs, you're probably like, yeah, I'm just going to crush it. And something happened and you're like thinking, hey, we need to evolve this.
That's right. Yeah. You know, for the aha moment for me and the culture change was, as we were just talking, my background was coming into the business and building a part of the business that didn't exist. And we grew that rapidly, you know, over 15 years. It was, I mean, all of our time and energy and effort, almost inside and outside work went toward building that business. And we eat, slept, and played around here as we were growing the RV part of our business. And, after 15 or 18 years or so, it was somewhere in there, I just, it just seemed like all we were doing is focused on, growing the company. That was what winning became, just growing the company, growing revenues, growing profitability, growing your stock price, getting all sorts of accolades, being, the largest in the markets we were playing in. And I would just in my head, playing that forward. And what is the next 20 years? What does the next 20 years look like? Is it just more of that? And then I started, asking myself the question, ultimately turned to God and my prayer time and just asking him like, what, this can't be my purpose. Growing revenues doesn't seem fulfilling, to me or anyone on the team for that matter. And, what does purpose look like? So, I shortly around that time thereafter got a TED talk called Truly Human Leadership by now a friend named Bob Chapman, who was running a multi-billion-dollar manufacturing business similar to ours. And in that 20-minute TED talk, the light bulb went off, and it was clear to me that there was a different way to win. We could win in business and achieve all the financial metrics and accolades and growth that we were used to while, working on transforming the men and women in our business in a profound way through just, better leadership and better values, consistency, all that. So that's the transformation period in a nutshell there.
You watched the video, you embraced it. And I would imagine when you announced that decision, it probably was a lot of hemming and hawing right in the beginning and maybe a little bit painful. What was that like?
Yeah. So, it was a pretty long process. There was a lot of, I listened to the TED talk, I found out that he wrote a book called Everybody Matters, about their story, about their cultural transformation over the years and how we got there. And after I done enough research and thought about it, read the book, I went to the team and just said, hey, look, I want you all to read the book first and foremost, but let's have a conversation about how we would do this, because we had no idea how to go from where we were to what this looked like. We just knew it would require some change. So, you know, we started with values, and we said, hey, look, we've got to have values if we're going to go out there. We've got to have, you know, we've got to have important things to talk about and center everything around the values and make that the foundation. So we talked about how do we go to the, you know, thousands of people and tell them we're going to make this, you know, this great change in the way we lead and the way we talk about values in the business. And ultimately, you know, we did it plant by plant. We did a lot of listening. We ate a lot of humble pie and listened to a lot of things we had done wrong over the years, and just asked our workforce, you know, all of our team members at the time, hey, look, this is a stark contrast and change, and it might seem like a flavor of the month, but you know, what we're going to do is we're going to stay consistent here. We're going to do our best. Just follow us. Don't throw stones. As long as we're doing what we say we're going to do, we're going to listen to you. So we got a lot of good feedback from them, and it's all started around, hey, you know, you guys need to fix the bathrooms. You need to fix the break rooms. You need to add more bathrooms. You need to clean all of our facilities more. The place needs to be painted. It needs to be cleaned up. And just, you know, starting with their home away from home, they wanted us to fix it. We did that, and then we moved on to, you know, a lot of other things after that.
Here's the big question. The values that you guys have, do you live them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the most important part is that, you know, we ask people to have the courage to move people out of the business if they can't be coached up, because nobody wants to be in a culture and business where, you know, we're not consistent, we're only doing it part of the time, or it's only applicable to some people.
I found that one exercise alone, implementing core values, it's always driven by the actions and how the CEO operates, and it usually filters down. Everybody looks to you and they go, they actually model you in some way or another. Right. And I've seen transformations where CEOs, we evolve, right? We're always, you know, trying to look for that next reason to grow or thing to do. One of the things that I have learned was that when you go through this kind of transformation, attrition is inevitable, because you're going to always have those two or three people, or even, you know, that are essentially like, hey, I am not comfortable with this. I do not fit this. What was that like when you kind of hit that place?
You know, again, one of our leadership qualities that we asked all of our leaders to adhere to is just the value of courage. And, you know, as a leader, you need to have a lot of courage. You know, there's a lot of tough conversations, as you mentioned, that are going to happen. There's a lot of tough decisions that are going to have to be made. In some cases, we're removing friends out of the business, you know, people that have helped, you know, move the company along to get us where we're at. But we just had to, you know, draw a line in the sand and say, you know, living to the values, leading the way we're asking you to lead, is non-negotiable. And it applies to everybody, including the CEO.
That is such a great point. To move the business forward, the business is its own entity. And quite frankly, that's what it requires.
Right.
No stopping that engine. Right. All right, you're listening to the Higher Power Radio Show. I'm your host, Rick Gerard. And for our podcast listeners, we're going to take a quick educational moment from our sponsors. All right, I'm digging in deep with Jason Lippert. He is the president and CEO of Lippert Components. And we're talking about a transformation, a cultural transformation that he and his company went through a few years ago. He felt a little bit of pain, but like he come out the back end, like looking really good. So he's been able to grow his organization. Let's talk about, or delve in a little bit deeper on how you were able to kind of push people into this change, or actually lead people into this change, right? What were kind of the steps behind really rolling this out in an effective manner for you?
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of laying the groundwork. Like I said, that first part was like, we just went around to all the facilities in the business. I mean, you know, we've got, like you said, 12 or so thousand people today. 95% of those people are on the front lines of our business, making parts, you know, for RVs and boats and vehicles and housing and all sorts of things. So, you know, with 95% of our people on the front lines of our business in the manufacturing factories, that's where we went to lay the groundwork, because if we don't get traction there, then we might as well not even start. So we took groups from, you know, of leaders from all the front lines of all of our businesses, and we got all that feedback. Like I had mentioned, a lot of it was just, hey, fix our home away from home. That was a big piece of it. And really the next pieces hinged on where are we going to do that stuff? They had a lot of asks and demands, and they were all reasonable. for the most part. So we fixed all that stuff. We spent the money, which is where a lot of companies stop. They just don't, you know, they're not willing to spend the money. They want a good culture, but they're not willing to dump the resources in to get everything where it needs to be. And unless you go through with some of these actions, you're just not going to get the buy-in of the people. And you can want the greatest culture and have the greatest, values and all that. But if you're not going to put your money where your mouth is, then they're not going to follow. They're going to continue to leave, because they don't like the environment. So after we did that, we really focused on values. Okay, we listened to you. Here are the values. We put values in our 5-minute meeting discussions every morning. We put values just in this airspace throughout the week. We put them in the plants so they're visible. We put them on people's, work shirts. And then ultimately, we evaluate all of our leaders on our core values. So you go into a leadership evaluation, it's really simple. You've got 5 core values, and we're going to rate you on those values. And we want you to get better at those values. You don't have to make it a mystery on where you need to work to get better. Pick one of the values, you're weak in, or somebody's told you you're weak in, and try to get better in that area. So we moved from values to, we realized really quickly that we had promoted a lot of leaders over the years in manufacturing that, were just on time every day. They were reliable. They were good people, were fast or just effective. They got the work done. 100 reasons we would promote people. We just didn't promote them based on leadership qualities, which I think is a lot of businesses. So, we said, hey, look, if we're going to give people the a new expectation on leadership, let's come up with, 5 leader qualities like our core values that we can grade our leaders on. And so that we have a way to evaluate them a little bit better to say, hey, look, you're meeting the requirements of what leadership is here, or you're not. Here's where you need to work. So we did the same thing with that. We eventually said, man, all this stuff is really, really good, but we don't have the means to coach and disseminate all this information out there and make sure everybody knows, because we still have new people coming in every day, right, with attrition and all that. So we started hiring leadership coaches. Once we hired leadership coaches, we realized a lot of people's headaches and opportunities were personal. So we hired some personal development coaches so that we could, coach people through crisis and some of the headaches that they had, because they couldn't be a good team member because they have, a lot of personal strife and headaches and crisis. So, we just created some resources and ultimately a VP of culture and leadership to help lead the culture movement, because it's important to have resources and culture if you think it's important. You wouldn't do human resources or IT or sales or any other function in the business without people there. But we tend to say, hey, look, we want culture to be best in class or best in the world, but there's nobody home. It's just we kind of lump it up on HR and operations and everybody else to say, go execute that.
What are you guys' core values?
Our core values are passionate about winning, team play with trust, honesty, integrity, and candor, caring about people, and positive attitude. So,
All those actions you just explained are what you put into play right there.
Yeah. And it's an expectation. If you have a negative attitude, you're not going to be here very long, because it's going to stick out like a sore thumb, and we'll give you some coaching on it. But, eventually you need to figure it out, because we don't want you around here poisoning everybody else if you got a negative attitude.
I feel like natural selection in a values-driven environment is very real. People will get you out pretty quickly.
That's
Here's
right.
what I love about your values, too. They're real. And so often companies, even small companies, they just put, they pick 5 or 6 words they like. They have no idea what they mean, but they just put them on a wall. They might bring it up every once in a while. Do you believe that that's something that was key to your being able to really grow the business from where it was 10 years ago to the powerhouse it is now?
It was literally, the foundation. It was foundational for the success of the culture journey to get traction and to have some of the success and culture we've had, because it's kind of the guiding light. It's the North Star. It's like, I always used to think laminating core values and putting them on a wall was just stupid. I never did it. I read about it in college. It was in one of my business classes. Never did it, because I'm like, just, act the right way and do the right things, and you don't need a card on the wall. But what it's done is it just reminds everybody you know, that's been, whether they've been here for a week or a month or 10 years, it reminds everybody what's important. And we can always go back and point to it, and we can call out, you know, behavior that's not productive, as well as celebrate behavior that is productive. And we're all speaking the same language. There's 1,000 words that are good that would probably be described as good values, but we say, hey, look, these are the ones that are really important. And if you excel at all these things, you're going to be here a long time if you want to be.
That is so very true. You put a lot of changes into play. Tell me a little bit about having to exit somebody that's always the most painful part. You have somebody who's probably productive. They did a great job. They got you from there to here. It's become very obvious they're not going to work out. Tell me about that experience.
Yeah, I can, you know, over the last 10 years, there's been lots of those experiences. The one common denominator is the person's unwillingness to change.
I would argue that they can't most of the time. I mean, it is unwillingness, but like some people are just set in their ways, and just, maybe it's fear, maybe it is what it is, but it becomes, like you said, it becomes very evident. I think of my dad, it kind of makes me laugh a little bit. My dad hasn't changed in 50 years. Right?
I hear you.
And I don't think he's capable of it, man. I would, you know.
Well, and think about it. I think that, you know, those past generations, and I put my grandpa in that same bucket as my dad. Yeah. Nobody in business, you know, was in there pushing them into change. And, you know, some of it we want to lean into naturally. We want to grow and develop. And other times people, you know, we've all experienced, people need to push us into change. You can't grow without change. So, you know, it's one of those things that's necessary. And, you know, one of the things we do in the business that I think is a little bit different than what a lot of other businesses do. And we've experienced some just amazing, you know, we've seen amazing personal transformation in the business from our team members, is that we're pushing them to set goals. You know, yeah. We're pushing them to set goals for their life, for their personal life and their business career, or their professional life. We're asking them to write those goals down on paper and memorialize them. We're asking them to figure out what actions are going to be required for them to take over the next 12 months to start making progress in all those goals. And then to write an accountability partner down on paper, like, who am I going to go to? Who's going to, you know, I don't want to just hold myself accountable. That never works as well as finding somebody, you know, whether it's a family member or somebody around me on my team or the business that's going to help hold me accountable to those goals, that needs to know what those goals are so they can check in with me once in a while.
And, you know, it's funny is when you do have an accountability partner, that first time that they ask you if you're on track and you say no, you never hear the end of it.
That's right.
You never want to let that down again, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think that's, you know, there's power in writing it down. There's power in setting an action plan. There's power in finding somebody to hold you accountable. And you're more likely to accomplish goals if you do those things and if you just dream about it or think about it. And ultimately, you know, if people in business, you know, I just think of our 12 plus thousand, if they're all setting goals, every single one of them, I can't see an argument where you could say, hey, look, your business is going to be worse next year if you've got 12,000 people going after their own goals.
Exactly. Exactly. When you've had people exit, did you ever have the experience where people came back to you and said, hey, look at, why'd you wait so long?
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
You know, this fear of change thing, a lot of CEOs, but this person's crushing it on sales, or, you know, nobody else can stand them. But for whatever reason, you keep them around. And the next thing you know, you finally part ways with them. Yeah. And it's a flood of, why didn't you get rid of that person earlier?
Yeah. And the good and bad of that. Yeah. That's so common. And, you know, you find that you don't realize how toxic the situation was, or how badly they were behaving, or how badly they were impacting negatively other people in the org, and then how much productivity did that take away while they were here? How many people did they drive away until you made that courageous decision to, because people, you know, people probably left, whether they told you the reason or not, they, you know, those types of people have driven others out of the business. So it is damaging. And, you know, our goal is to make sure we catch that stuff early. And I think the more pure your culture, you know, and values are, the harder it is to exist in an environment like that. And it took us a while to get there where, you know, our attrition was, you know, 125% at one point in time before the start of this journey, and it's, you know, it's 25% today. So in this environment, it's a lot harder for somebody to stand up, you know, to behave badly and hide, or behave counter to the values and hide, because people don't want to put up with that. So they'll raise their hand, and they know that we're not going to, you know, terminate them or play favorites or anything like that. We're going to have the honest conversation with the person, the tough conversation, give them a little bit of coaching. And then, you know, if they can't get their stuff together, we move them out of the business.
What surprised you the most in this transformation? One or two things that maybe I never would have seen this one coming.
Yeah. I would say that, you know, when we started with a values journey and you look at all the things that we're doing today, just how on board people are, how hungry they were for, you know, just having something basic like, hey, let's everybody, you know, live out the values. It's not a bad thing. It's good for everybody. You know, that was surprising. Probably the biggest thing is just the personal transformation that I've seen in people's lives, and how, you know, just something simple. Like, a guy stopped me in a plant bathroom the other day after one of my listening sessions. And he said, "Are you Jason?" And I said, "Yeah, what's your name?" And he said, "Rusty." And I said, "What's your story?" He's like, "I just want to tell you that I've worked for a horrible employer for 23 years. The money was good." He goes, "I've been here 6 months." And he goes, "But for 23 years, it was miserable." And I walked away from that conversation, and I'm like, there's thousands of people, there's hundreds of thousands, there's millions of people out there that are living in horrible work situations for 40 hours a week, getting beat down by bad bosses and bad cultures. And I wonder what that does to people. And you know, we wonder why there's, you know, anxiety and mental health issues and depression and things like that. You're in a bad spot for 40 hours a week. That's almost like prison.
Someone's worse than prison, I think.
So there's, personal transformation. And then probably the third thing is just the innovation that's come out of people as they're allowed to create and innovate around culture, because before the journey, that wasn't a thing. We never said, hey, you know, let's figure out new things we can do. So whether it's the community impact piece where all of our plants and people are serving, or whether it's our chaplaincy program or our Dream Achiever program, or things that we're doing, that people have just come up with ideas to help, you know, help people have a better experience while they're working here. It's just been cool to see all that happen.
I'm sure you get reached out to by a lot of, I mean, you're at a pretty substantial level, and there's a lot of CEOs that are kind of trying to get there. Like maybe they've got 20 people and they're trying to grow. What would be that one key things that you can give them that they could actually plug into their business that would move the needle forward?
Yeah. First is just be patient. It's a journey. It's going to take time. And it's going to require a lot of the top person's time, whether you're an owner of a small business or a medium-sized business or CEO of a larger public company.
Or a startup.
You know, it's going to be a journey, but the CEO or the top person has to be committed, fully committed. And it's going to take time, especially if you've got a company that's been on a journey like we were, where we were kind of anti-core values. It was just anything goes, win at all costs. It took time to turn it around, because we had to make believers out of everybody. And, you know, after years of, you know, doing the opposite. But I would say a few things that have moved the needle for us is, you know, one is, you know, I do listening sessions every week. So I go to a plant, 90 minutes. I give, 20, 30 minutes of vision and just tell them kind of where the company's going and how I see, you know, our company and our markets. And then, you know, we spend an hour in conversation about what's going on with the plant, what's going on with you guys, what's going well, what's not going well, where can we get better? We go over some of the survey data that we would have taken a few months earlier, because we do surveys every quarter. So, you know, as we do that, you get a lot of, if you take time to listen, and it requires time. So I would say some of the CEOs out there and owners and entrepreneurs, you need to stop doing some of the things that you're doing and start making listening to your team members a priority, because they have lots of good things they want to tell you that will help improve the business, but you have to take time, and it can't be 2 seconds. Hey, how you doing? How's everything going? Anything you need? Okay. I'll see you next time.
You have to be open to the idea that the best idea might even come from, like, the person who takes out the trash.
Yeah, you never know. Most of the ideas from people other than, if you're really open to it. Otherwise, you're limiting the pool of ideas, and that's not a good thing either. Yeah. But the biggest things I would say also are developing a community impact and service part of our company. So we have, four people in community impact and philanthropy in our business that set up serving events in all the communities that we live and work in. So, we've got 100 and some plants. So we've got, 400 serving events a year that we do. And we invite all of our team members to come and serve. And we have found that, there is a direct correlation between people that serve and the retention back in the business. The more people serve, the more they're staying here. And that's, it's one of the things that we look at in terms of metrics, because the more our leaders serve, the more we find that they're staying here over the long term, because not a lot of companies are giving them that opportunity or providing that opportunity. And in our world in manufacturing, frontline men and women, a lot of them hadn't served before they came here. And they don't know where to start. So we do all that work to say, hey, look, we're going here. Let's all show up. And we show up and serve together. And it creates some bonding outside of work and some relationship and connection that we wouldn't get inside the four walls. And, nobody ever gets sick of serving. Nobody ever says, oh, that was terrible. I'm not doing that again.
I don't think I've ever felt bad about doing that.
Right. Yeah.
So. Hey, Jason, thanks so much for your time investment today, and I want to welcome you to the Higher Power Radio community. Now, what would be the best way in which members of our audience can find you, find your company, maybe figure out how to work for you?
Yeah, so I'm most available on LinkedIn, and I answer every message. So
he does. I'll test that.
Yeah. So I for those that are looking to improve culture and take steps, I'm willing to talk and maybe even connect you with a leadership academy who's helping many companies at this point in time that are reaching out, taking their first steps. Cause I was in the same boat. I mean, I didn't know where to start, but Bob Chapman was nice enough to help me take the first few steps and understand what would make the most impact early on. And we can do the same thing. We can give you some of the playbook, and the world's going to be a better place if companies, develop better cultures and live out better cultures. So,
so very true. I love it. All right. I want to thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Higher Power. Quick thanks to our team, Brian Colburn, Andrea Ballin, and Ayla Gerard. If you're listening to the podcast, please subscribe, review, and share. After all, this show's for you. So we want to make sure that we're providing impactful content to you on a weekly basis. You can always drop me a quick email if you want, as well as I respond back to mine as just as Jason does. You can join the Higher Power Radio community at Higher, H-I-R-E, Power, P-O-W-E-R, Radio, R-A-D-I-O.com, or you can drop me an email at rick@intertrue.ai. Tune in next Tuesday. Our guest is going to be Jeff Lightman. Jeff is the founder and CEO of Rocksteady Corporation. I'm your host, Rick Gerard, and you have been listening to the Higher Power Radio Show. Aloha.
Thank you for listening to Higher Power Radio.
Catch our LinkedIn Live show every Tuesday at noon, or download the podcast on iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube, or your favorite podcast platform. We appreciate you joining us on Higher Power Radio with your guide to hiring success, Rick Gerard.